we are almost coming to the end of the book of PDQ. This is the last second section of the study of the book of PDQ. And the end of the book of PDQ actually is will be on top of the high mountain where the city of Jerusalem is built. And this is the city of God, and God is going to dwell in that city forever. So we are going to continue to study. Where were we? Yes, chapter 43, right? There are few principles for the city to be built. The first principle, according to the vision in chapter 40, the city must build on top of the mountain. You know that some people say God created the mountain and Satan created the city. So the city was destroyed by God. The Old Testament are all our cities, like Sodom and Gomorrah and Nineveh. They are all big cities. So big city has a lot of temptation. And mountain is a place you can refresh yourself, calm yourself down. So physically as well as spiritually is the same. So sometimes if you want to refresh yourself spiritually, you climb up the mountain to enjoy that quiet moment. It's a very good moment for self-reflection. While I was in Vancouver, somebody told me that the Rocky Mountain in the Canada side is so magnificent. We were so impressed by that mountain. I don't know when was the last time you climbed up to the top of the mountain. It will be a very wonderful experience, very beautiful experience. So instead of go to Las Vegas or Atlantic City, I think the best time is, if you have time, try to do some recreation. The best time is go up to the mountain, not only give you a good exercise. When you go up to the mountain, you feel you're so close to God because there is no worldly entertainment or entanglement. Your heart is so pure and so calm, and it's easy for you to meditate the words of God. So that was the reason why Jesus every night went out of city of Jerusalem and went to the Mount of Olives, and he prayed alone. And there is a some principle. Now, chapter 41. Chapter 41. Verse 1 to verse 4 talk about the dimension of the temple. Okay? And verse 5, let's see verse 5. Then the measure of the wall of the temple, it was 6 cubits thick. And each side room around the temple was 4 cubits wide. Around the temple there was a building. And the building was built in a very unique way. Verse 6. The side room were on three levels, one above another, 30 on each level. There were lodges all around the wall of the temple to serve as support for the side room, so that the support were not inserted into the wall of the temple. And the side room all around the temple were wider at each successive level. The structure surrounding the temple was built as ascending stage, so that the room widened as one went upwards. A stairway went up from the lower floor to the top floor through the middle floor. So you can imagine this is a very different structure. The higher you are, the wider the room it will be. As you know physics, right? Because of gravity. So usually the higher you are as a building goes up, but the sides were narrow, just like a pyramid. This is most stable structure. But the room beside the temple, it seems the higher you are, the wider you will be. So what does that mean? There are some spiritual significance. When we pursue the spiritual advancement, the higher you are, the more you are able to see. When you stand on the ground, it seems you cannot see too much things. When you climb up yourself higher, you are able to see further in the spiritual realm. So the higher is better. So before Moses died, what did God command to him? What did God command to him before Moses died? Let's see what happened. Deuteronomy, last chapter. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Chapter 34. The Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plain of Moab. So he climbed from the plain, right? And up to the Mount of Nebo. And to the top of Pisgah, across the Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Nahalol, and territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as Western Sea. So God asked him to climb up to the top of the mountain of Pisgah, and he was able to overlook the promised land filled with honey and milk from the top of the mountain. So he has been traveling for 40 years and suffering so much for one purpose, to see the promised land. So he has to climb up to the top and see very far to the promised land. And that promised land as well is the heavenly kingdom. It's all about faith, climb up, up and up. You are able to see how wonderful it is to be in heaven. So when we climb up and up, you are able to see the spiritual realm very clearly. Your concept of value will change. Your philosophy of life will change. So in Hebrew chapter 11, talk about when Abraham went into the promised land, where was his heart? You know? When Abraham went into the promised land filled with honey and milk, a physical land, where was his heart? Can you see Hebrew chapter 11? Hebrew chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in the foreign country. He lived in tent, and did Isaac and Jacob, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So verse 10, we talk about what city. He was looking toward the city, which foundation was built by God. Where was that city? Where was that city? You can say so. If you look a little bit further, okay. Verse 14. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. 15. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, and they would have opportunity to return. Verse 16. Instead, they were looking for a better country, the heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So, what was the city Abraham was looking forward when he was physically in the promised land? What was the city? It was a city managed by God. That was a heavenly kingdom. So, when Abraham was in the physical piece of land, his face had been elevated higher and higher and higher. He was able to see the wonderfulness of that spiritual heaven. Now, and because of this, so he was able to transform himself the way he lived his life. So verse 9. The land of Canaan was filled with honey and milk. But he made his home, means the land, physical land God was going to give him. And in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country, and he lived in tent. What does that mean, like a stranger in a foreign country and he lived in a tent? Which means he lived a very simple life. Very simple life. You know, it's amazing how Philadelphia Church can accommodate about 140 people, right? I never thought about this. This small building can have 140 living here. But if you look into your room, everybody, you just bring your carry-on here, right? A lot of people just bring your carry-on. If you try to live here for 6 months, are you going to only bring your carry-on? You're going to bring 2-3 luggages. And you will be different. Because you are only living here for 15 days, then you're going to go home. So your luggage become very simple. And this simple luggage will simplify your life. So you are able to concentrate your mind. So if you bring with you a stereo or iPad or a lot of stuff you're enjoying, then your life is too complicated for you to concentrate your mind in MITS. Right? So in the book of Ezekiel, I talk about the building surrounding the temple. And that building, the higher the building it is, the wider the building is. Which means in the spiritual realm, the higher you climb up, the more space, the wider view you are going to enjoy, and your heart will be transformed. I still remember that when I was in the theological study in Taiwan, that was on top of the third floor in Taichung Church. I know some of you know the building in Taichung Church, right? And some of the brothers and sisters always went to the third floor to visit us. And then when they look at the life we live, they just feel, oh, wow, this is this kind of life I just cannot live it, right? You when you live in there, you have no radio, no television, no newspaper, nothing. You only read the Bible and then do a lot of assignment. But do you know, when you separate yourself from the world, you start to pursue the spiritual advancement. The higher you climb, the farther you see. And that kind of experience is very difficult to explain to anybody else. Just like at NYT, if you explain to your friend, we have 140 people squeezed into a building less than 10,000 square feet. Can your friend, what will your friend comment it? Are you crazy, right? You live there for 15 days. No. But if you dedicate yourself in prayer, you are able to see the spiritual beautifulness in God's kingdom. You are able to experience that peace and joy. Even your friend cannot understand what kind of life you live here. But you know by yourself how wonderful it is for us to be here. So the higher you climb, the more you will enjoy God himself. The more you are going to enjoy your spiritual pursuit. So this is not a terrible place to come. Because God is here. You have to climb up and up and up. If we don't climb higher and higher, then 15 days of life in Philadelphia Church will what? Is you can never forget in your life, right? Okay, now let's come back to the book of Ezekiel. This is the first, second principle. Now, chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. From verse 1 to verse 5. This is critical important. Verse 1 to verse 5. Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the Lord of Israel coming from the east. The glory of the Lord of the Israel coming from the east. So how come it's not coming from west? How come it's not coming from north? And how come it's not coming from the south? Why? Do you know? You don't know. So this is a prophecy. The glory of the Lord coming from the east is referring to what? It's a prophecy. As we know, the temple itself represents what? The body of Christ, the true church. The glory of God being manifested in the temple, right? And that glory comes from the east. So if you look into the church history, the true church come from where? Come from the east. When somebody introduced Jesus, right? And what did Nathanael say? That's the Nathanael here, right? The Bible in the book of John. Can anything good come from Nazareth, right? So Nazareth was not a very famous city. So in the beginning of 20th century, you look into China. China is so weak, so poor. So can anything good come from China? Nothing good. But if we look into the prophecy in the Bible, right? The glory of God is coming from the east. So I was told that I was told by the early worker that Elder Guo, I think it's in 1930s or 20s, 30s, when he went to Hawaii, tried to preach the complete gospel to Hawaii. As soon as he landed in Hawaii, the customs asked him, the official asked him, why do you come here? He said, I come here to preach the gospel. You know, 1930s, all the missionaries all over the world are coming from the Western country, United States or Europe. So when he mentioned that he's coming to preach the gospel, the person asked him just laugh, because that had never happened. And asked him, how much money have you brought with you? And the money is so limited. So it's unbelievable. But within a very short period of time, the church been established. Why? Because the glory of God is coming from the east. And this is the will of God. We can only say this is a miracle because that had been prophesied about 700 before Jesus was born. In the beginning of the 20th century, it had been fulfilled. And then, verse 2. And his voice was like a roar of rushing water. If you have the experience of Niagara Falls, before you reach the Niagara Falls, you heard the fall of the mighty water, right? Tens of thousands of gallons of water keep on pouring down, mighty water. So the voice was like a roar of rushing water. And Revelation chapter 19 is talking about the same thing. So when we pray, we praise God. Now, if a lot of people praying in the church, you stand outside, it's just like a sound of rushing water with authority, with power. In the book of Ezekiel, the few chapters talk about when the angel, right, cherubim, moving the wind, what happened? It make a sound like a rushing water. It also represents the angel who serve God has certain type of authority and power. God entrust them with authority and power. And then the mighty angel actually stood behind Ezekiel. So Ezekiel was not afraid. On top of the cherubim, there was a glory of God. On back of him, there was a mighty angel surrounding him. So why he was afraid of anything? Now, today is the same thing. If we want to work for God, you should not be afraid of anything because God is using us. God will back us up. Okay, and then next one, verse 2. And the land was radiant with his glory. The land where the temple was built, radiant with his glory. So what does that mean? You see, before God appeared to Moses to call him, Moses went by that piece of land every day. Nothing happened. But one day he saw that the fire was burning in the bush, right? Out of curiosity, he would like to approach that fire to take a look. And what was the voice? What did the voice tell him to do? What did the voice tell him to do? When he saw a fire in the bush, he wanted to approach that bush. Step back? Only step back. Take your shoes off. Why? Because this place is holy. How come every day the place was not holy and now today the place is holy? Why? Because God was there. When God was there, the place became holy. So that piece of them was radiant with the glory of God. Why? Because God was there. There was a place, they built the temple and God was there. So that piece of them was radiant with the glory of God. So what does that mean today? You can interpret in spiritual way, you can interpret with physical way too. Before the temple being purchased by the church, I think the temple was used by Jewish people as some kind of synagogue or education institution. Alright? So at that time, this is not a holy temple. This is not a holy temple. Because the Jewish people did not even believe in Jesus Christ. But after we purchased a building, we have a church so-called dedication ceremony. We dedicate the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hang on the signboard, True Jesus Church. Now, so this piece of land becomes the holy temple because we are dedicated to God. Okay? So if we pray here, and God is going to be radiant with His glory in this piece of land. So ever since the dedication of church ceremony, a lot of people receive Holy Spirit, even pray, the sickness was cured here. So the glory of God fell upon this piece of land. So that was another principle we had to mention about later on, and chapter 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5, chapter 43. And the glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. So from the east, the glory of the Lord come into the temple. So the glory of God come into the true church from the east. Verse 5. And then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And the glory of the Lord filled with the temple. The glory of the Lord filled with the temple. And that temple is His church. And that temple is His body, the true Jesus Church. So what was the purpose? God tried to build up His church. The fundamental purpose is to glorify His name. How to glorify His name? If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, right? How to glorify His name? God manifests His power. Mighty miracle, wonder, and signs happen. And God manifests His power. So a lot of people's life has been transformed. They live a new life, and a life can manifest the divine nature of God. A life like Jesus Christ. So the name of God was glorified. Today, True Jesus Church is the body of Christ, is the temple of God. So our mission is to make the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in this church. So we pray a lot here, right? We pray that the power of God can come to us, our life can be transformed. After you go back home, you can demonstrate that the divine nature of God is in you. You can demonstrate you have the likeness of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified. And when you pray and the power of God manifests, your problem being resolved, you can praise God with thanksgiving. And then the name of God is glorified. So we heard so many testimonies, the name of God being glorified in the church. So the glory of the church is not only rely on the building. All this building is very good, so the name of God is a glory there, right? And when the members come to the church, they guard you, they fight right with each other. That's not the right way to glorify the name of God. Now, there was a fundamental principle to build the temple. What was the principle? Chapter 43. Chapter 43, verse 12, the law of the temple. So read chapter 43, verse 12. This is the law of the temple. All the surrounding area on top of the mountain will be most holy. And such is the law of the temple. So if there is a question, ask you, what is the law of the temple? What would be the answer? The surrounding area on top of the mountain will be most holy. That is the law of the temple. So if we cut it short, the law of the temple is holiness. And the glory of God is related to holiness. So the book of Romans chapter 3 or chapter 4 say, we all sin, come short the glory of God. When we define ourselves with sin, we cannot glorify His name. But we can glorify His name because we live a very holy life. So we have to pursue the holiness. And this is very important. When we come to the church, holiness is very important. Can you find a verse? God said, you should be holy because I am holy. Where is it? Can you find it from Leviticus? Okay, Leviticus 11:44. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself and be holy, because I am holy. Do not make yourself unclean by any creature that move about on the ground. So why should we be holy? What was the fundamental reason? Why should we be holy? Because God is holy. That is the fundamental reason. Because God said, I am holy, be holy, because I am holy. Why God is holy, we should be holy too. If God is holy, we are unclean. You cannot see God. An unclean person cannot see God. If you try to visit a person, right? You go to a restaurant and you visit your friend. Your friend are just cooking and all the hand is dirty with all different kind of oil stain, and try to stretch out to shake hand with you. Are you going to do that? No, right? You're holy. You're clean. God is clean, so we should be clean. Then how can we keep ourselves holy in the temple of God? So Sabbath day is the day of holiness. Shall we see some, read some passage in the Bible? The book of Proverbs, not Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5. Verse 1. Guard your step when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Guard your step when you go to the house of God. Where is the house of God? Here is the house of God. So when you come to the church, we have to guard our steps. Be careful. Especially in the chapel, the place we have service. Is it called the chapel? And the place we have a lunch, that is some kind of fellowship hall. So if you like to talk something worldly, you like to have a conversation, the best way is just go and to the fellowship hall, not in the temple of God. The temple of God should supposed to be a place we pray. Meditate with God, listen to God's message. And since the church is the temple of God, you know Jesus cleansed his temple twice, right? Because of what reason? They were doing the business, selling the pigeon and oxen. For what purpose? For the convenience of for them to offer the sacrifice. But what did Jesus do? Jesus did what? Turn away all the table and drove away all the animals, right? This should be the temple of prayer. So one day you grown up, oh, try your best not to do business in the church. This is the temple of God. The only way is to love God and love man and worship God. So we have to keep this as a holy place. Since this is a holy place, so in the church, usually we don't allow the unbaptized people to stay in the church alone. Those who are not baptized yet cannot stay in the church alone. Because this is a holy temple. I was told by a brother, my elder right now, the passed away. He came from the southern part of China. So one day one of the brothers come from the countryside to do something, try to live in the church. But in the middle of the night, the angel wake him up and driven out of the temple. So you already commit adultery, how come you live in the temple? And use a knife, cut one part of his ear off, and driven out. So this is the temple of God. When we come to the church, we should have a reverent attitude because God's here. God is going to manifest his glory here. So this is chapter 43. The law of the temple is holy. And 43 verse 7. Verse 7 says the temple is a throne of God. Verse 6 and verse 7. We start from verse 5, chapter 43. So one day, one day if you want to hold a wedding matrimony, right? You must be holy because this is the temple of God. So the minister is going to conduct a matrimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know? In the name of Jesus Christ. This is a holy name. Jesus Christ said, if you hold it in the name of Jesus Christ, I will be in the midst of you. So if you conduct the wedding ceremony in the church and you already commit fornication, adultery, that's very awful, very terrible. In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus is here. If you are defiled, you hold the wedding matrimony, I will be so afraid. Maybe something is going to happen. So the church, of course, the church did not know your private life. So church had an application form to list out all the qualification to hold the wedding matrimony in the church, that including no fornication, no adultery. Of course, that including oral sex too. Oral sex is sex. So if you have sex before the marriage, you are not allowed to hold the wedding ceremony in the church. So this is a holy temple. God is here. So we have to be very cautious. Very cautious. So if you know anybody already have fornication, personally, the best way to advise them not to hold the wedding in the church. I don't know what is going to happen if anybody so bold and try to deceive the church and to hold the wedding in the church. I don't know what. Okay. Verse 5, 43 verse 5. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled with the temple. So the Spirit lifted up Ezekiel and went into the inner court, and the glory of God was filled with the temple. So this is a spiritual glory. And verse 6, and while the man was standing beside me, I heard someone speaking to me from the inside of the temple. And verse 7. And he said, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. So this is the place of my throne. My referring to Almighty God. So temple is the place of God's throne. Actually, God sits there. God is in the presence in his holy temple. So this is the church. So church is the throne of God, and the place for the soles of my feet. And this is where I will dip among the Israelites forever. The house of Israel will never be again defiled my holy land. So this is the place where God is going to live forever. So church is the place God is going to live forever, because church is his body. So he's going to send down his spirit, fill upon his body, the church, to live together with the members. So we spend more time being close to the church, we will experience more about the power and the glory of God, because this is the place where God fills his spirit. So this is 43, Ezekiel chapter 43. Time is up. We're going to conclude on your 48, this evening section.